Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the service this morning that God has ordained. And I say that because He woke us up this morning, not ourselves. And He put it on our hearts to come together, to hear His word, to participate in what He's doing in this day. So with that being said, thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for your blessings, your mercy, your grace. Thanking you that you have made a way in the wilderness of life, Lord, that we will never be separated from you through the way of, by way of Jesus, your Son. Thank you for sending your Son to die in our place, and He sits today at the right hand of you. Oh, what a wonderful preparation you made. You came to this earth to die, but you live today. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the awesome sacrifice, knowing that we could never pay for our sins, and we are all sinful beings. So we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for this Sunday. We thank you for this service. We come with hearts anticipating what you will do in our lives and what you want us to do for you. It's not always about us. It's never about us. It's always about you. So help us to keep our focus on you. Help us to keep our minds concentrated on the things that you want and your will be done. And that, Lord, you will guide us and direct us in the path of life, that we can be a blessing to others as you pour out your blessing upon us. Father, help us to decrease today. And let your Holy Spirit increase in us. We're asking this in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, we're asking that you would watch each and every one of us that is listening to this message right now or at a later time, that you would wash and forgive us of all unrighteousness, that you would purify our hearts, that you would let us come under the umbrella of you and you alone, that your grace and mercy would be all that we show to others, because, Father, you've shown it to us. Bless this service today, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon it, Lord God. Remove all doubt, all fear, all apprehensiveness, anything that would want to get in the way of what you're doing, that we all could hear from you, Father. We're coming with an anticipation, Father, of the greatness of you. We're in this season of celebrating Christmas, but it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Let us keep our focus where it needs to be and where it should be, to honor you and to glorify you. Bless Jeanette as you bring forth your word. Help her, Father, to decrease. Holy Spirit, fall afresh and anew on Jeanette right now. Speak through her. Encourage her. Strengthen her. Have your will there, Father. I thank you for her, Father, and I thank you for what she's doing. I thank you for the way you have called her into her ministry, Lord God. That, Lord, you have blessed her, and you have blessed us to be blessed by her. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for Tammy, Lord God, and she's going to be bringing forth your word as she reads it. Lord, just open up her heart, her mind. Give her the discernment and the understanding of everything that she would say, Father. And let her speak, Lord, but you speak through Tammy. Let her read as you read through Tammy. Father, bless and anoint her and all that's associated with Tammy, Father. Pour out your Spirit on her and all of her family members, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for Tammy. We thank you for Terrell. We thank you for all that on the call now and all that would join into the call, Lord God, that your will be done. Block all chaos, all confusion. Let not Satan have his way today. But, Lord, you have your way. We surrender to you, God. We submit to you, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit, into your service. That, Lord, we would hear from you what you want us to hear, and we will be doers of what we hear. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen. All right, we are in Acts, and we're getting a lot of insight as to what ministry looks like and what is expected of us and the impact that we should have in the environments that we enter. And how God sometimes will use circumstances to move us right along. Sometimes we get into a comfortable place and it's so nice, the people are so great, I really enjoy it, and we don't want to move when the Lord's trying to get us to move, so circumstances change for us because a lot of times he'll work through our circumstances when we're not listening.
Amen. Amen.
I want to say that because sometimes that can also, good morning, that can also have an impact on relationships.
Yes.
And that's kind of a tough one, because you'll say, well, God is not the author of any kind of confusion or this or that, but he will allow it sometimes when it's time for you to move from one place to another and you're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we get a core of people that we have grown with and we love and respect and we want to be with and we enjoy their company and we enjoy, and more than that, the fellowship. But sometimes the Lord's breaking it up because it's necessary for us, because we can't just be light to light. We can't just keep bringing water to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
We have to spread out and reach people that are not the, you know, people that you know so well or would want to be around. So a lot of times relationships even can take a toll when God is trying to get you to move and expand your territory.
Yes.
Okay. So we're in Paul's at Ephesus. Apollos was in Corinth, and Paul has been laying hands, and people that even believers in many instances that had come to believe did not receive. So I'm here to say, and we probably challenged by a million different theologians on it, but receiving is not necessarily, the Holy Spirit is not necessarily at the inception of believing. Because believing involves more than just believing. Somebody on this call right now, tell me what it involves. The demons in hell believe. What's the difference between you and the demons in hell?
They don't follow Jesus. They don't follow his way.
It's the way we live. The way we try to live and to try to be like him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to bring this up, and I hope we remember, because we're going to, if I have to say it 20 more times over the next 2 years, I will. So a person can hear the good news. They can understand the good news. They can even believe the good news. But if they're not willing to repent, that's like part of the catalyst. You have to repent. A lot of people, just because they believe and they respond to an altar call, they're not really repenting. They don't repent. They come up and say, yeah, that's me. I do need more money. I do believe Jesus. I do believe that there's a God that can help me right now. But they're not willing to repent of their sins. Jesus is the forgiver of sins, but you've got to repent. Mm-hmm. I think that happens often, and I think that's why a lot of people don't receive at the altar when they first come. For one, many of the churches watered it all the way down where they just do a big blanket prayer for everybody. And it's not even explained what you're repenting for. They don't even understand or fully grasp that if you're going to receive the gift of salvation, repentance is necessary. A lot of people are not sorry for how they're living.
Well, what is the difference between asking God to forgive you your sins and repenting?
Turning. Now, am I saying, okay, I bring Jane from Spain to church with me, and she's like stunned by the message, and she comes up, and they have you put your head down, and she's living in a lifestyle that's kind of messed up, and she's got areas in her life that she has no intentions of changing, but, you know, she definitely wants to be part of this church family. She can come into the faith and become a believer, but that does not mean she was filled with the Holy Spirit if there's no repentance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that it hides under. The lack of repentance hides under. Say, for example, you steal from your job, and you feel like they owe you an extra $10 an hour because they're not paying enough. Mm-hmm. They're not paying enough to get you where you need to go. They're not paying enough to even get your bills paid. So you feel justified in stealing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not repentant of stealing. And at altar or some time alone with God, you're saying, yeah, well, that's, I'm not repentant of that because I'm not sorry and I'm not going to stop. There's no repentance there. And if you justify your behavior, I've seen people even in the consequences of their behavior justify their behavior. That's not repentance. And I think that's where a lot of people fall. I think the adversary very often will justify our wrongdoing to us. And as soon as you buy into that, then you're not going to repent. You're not sincerely, well, I'm sorry, God, if it offended you, but I didn't see anything wrong with it. Woo! What kind of apology is that? That's not an apology, and that's not repentance. And that means they're likely to do it again on purpose. So we get to the altar, and we actually sincerely repent, and we ask the Lord to come into our life. Does he?
Yes.
Richard says yes. Does he? Does the Holy Spirit empower you that day?
No. I thought you said that we believe. No, it does not. Not necessarily.
I think the key is necessarily. I think there are some people that come to that altar and they are filled with the Holy Spirit right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're in a fellowship that acknowledges that the Holy Spirit can come now if you want him to.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other people that can be saved 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years and don't receive the Holy Spirit till they hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In this particular case, some people, it took the laying on of hands for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Somebody who knows about it, transferring it to you. Okay, we're going to start at verse 11 here. We're in Acts, the 19th chapter, starting from verse 11.
Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
Okay, I want to clarify here again. Why does God give some people signs and wonders? First, let's clarify. Are there signs and wonders happening today?
Absolutely.
Why does he give it to some people?
Increase their faith.
Increase whose faith?
The faith of the person that's wavering or may not believe. May not. Some people see and they become believers or believe. So it increased the faith in God.
Any other comments on that?
So to help the people that they're sent to reach, because there may be people that have really been hardened or turned another way and need to see that, like Thomas. but there's also different gifts, too.
And I also think that it was because of the show, the power of God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you put all these answers together, he gives it to a certain person or certain people because that's who he's equipped to lead the people. So when they see those signs and wonders, then they recognize God's power is operating through that person, and with that comes a little bit of reverence, or should, a little bit of reverence so that you can receive from that person.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you've got Paul teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then you have, say, Joe Schmo walk up and he's teaching a gospel of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
What set them apart was the miracles, signs, and wonders. And when we started in early Acts, Jesus, the word told us that he imparted this particular gift so that people would follow. Otherwise, what do you have that he don't have? What's he saying? Well, he's saying is pretty interesting, too. And what they're saying is pretty interesting, too. Even Moses, because remember that in the occult, there's a bunch of demonic power, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've had it brought to me more than once, more than twice, more than three times. People say, well, the sorcerers were able to throw down their staff and they became snakes too.
Right.
So whatever Moses, whatever power was operating through Moses was the same as what was operating through the sorcerers. So what then was the difference? Moses' serpent consumed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moses went on to perform miracles that they could not possibly perform.
Yeah.
I want this as a red flag and a warning. I don't want us to forget this. Don't think for one minute that the adversary cannot do signs and wonders also.
Amen.
Often, he mimics them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say with Jim Jones, he had people planted in a wheelchair to jump up at the service and appear to be healed. But miracles can be done by the adversary also.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't written in there for us to ignore. They did throw their staffs down and they did become snakes.
Deception.
Exactly. It's deception, but it also is, there's power being worked by the adversary as well.
Right.
I think so many times I hear Christians talking about, I'm going to put my foot on his head, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Watch yourself. He's a formidable foe.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't go around continuously challenging and calling your foe by name.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice that 90% of the time I'm going to say adversary. I'm not even going to call his name. Because when you call the name of a spirit, you draw it. We have no business drawing our enemy to tell him off and piss him off. That's not something that's godly, and that's not something we ought to be doing. I've heard people talk about, oh, I told the devil this and I told the devil that. Unless the Holy Spirit's leading you, you really shouldn't be talking to him at all. He's not your friend, and don't draw him. I'm not saying be afraid of him, but I'm saying take it seriously. Don't taunt the devil. You've got no business doing that. God is the one in charge of these spiritual issues. Now, can we come up against him?
Absolutely.
Yes, but you better know what you're doing. You better be covered. You better be led. Forget about know what you're doing, because I've had to deal with it and never knew what I was doing.
Right.
But I was led by the Spirit of God, and I knew I was being led unequivocally. There was no part in any of it that I doubted that God was not leading. So if God is not telling you to do something or go forward, let God lead you. And all this extra talk about what you're going to do to the devil and all that, you might want to stop that. It's not wise. It's not wise to stick your head in the devil's camp, keep calling his name, and throwing rocks at him and running. That's not wise. This is a big war. Okay, keep going.
Verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches."
Stop right there. So here, they've heard of Jesus. They have witnessed that demons have had to flee by the power of his name. So they decide, well, I don't really know Jesus, but I know Paul knows Jesus, so I'm going to do this in the name of Paul and Jesus. I'm going to touch on something. A lot of the ones or different churches that claim to be exorcists, and they do these rituals and exorcise demons. Some of them are not even right themselves, but they're using the name of Jesus to do it.
Just, I'm going to throw in there, she says churches, but it's also, it's all over Facebook and stuff. And so it's, you have to be very careful. All these places that proclaim that they can teach you how to exorcise spirits or do deliverances and all that, that's just rampant. So you don't have to go to a church. You just put on your Facebook. And so
a lot of what's happening is people are, oh, I want to be able to cast out demons, and I'm going to Google it. And then they may see some very interesting things that leads them to YouTube, and then they're down the YouTube rabbit hole, and the next thing you know, the very thing they were watching is happening in their lives.
Right.
Ask me how many times people have come to me with that problem, because they're letting things in through the internet and through YouTube because they're watching things they have no business watching. Because they're trying to get power that God did not necessarily give them. They're trying to learn how to have power over spirits, which is what? Same thing people in the occult do. Mm-hmm. They conjure demons mm-hmm. to do their bidding. Sure. Do they really conjure demons? Absolutely. Someone will say, well, if you're a witch, you can't conjure demons. You don't have power over demons. Actually, you can. That's what witchcraft is all about. Is trying to access power through the spiritual realm and then controlling demons to do what you want them to do. Are you really controlling demons? You're actually both on the same team, so call it whatever you want. But some of them have to be called places to do the things that they do.
Yeah, you're okay. Treading in a very dangerous area.
Yes, absolutely, as we're going to see. Keep going.
Verse 14. Also, there were seven sons of Siva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on, who the evil spirit was, leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house, naked and wounded.
Keep going.
This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came, confessing and telling their deeds.
See, because this was a time when sorcery and witchcraft was abounded. Every time we turn around, like every other chapter, there's some sorcerer or somebody practicing sorcery or witchcraft. And now they're seeing what they've been delving and playing with, how dangerous it is. Terribly dangerous. A lot of us, because we don't see the other realms, we take it lighter than we should. It's God's grace that we don't see the other realm. It's God's grace, because for most of us, we're not equipped to deal with it. And it would terrify you. A lot of people that do a lot of conjuring and that sort of thing, what ends up manifesting in their life has them terrified and in a straitjacket. Because they pulled up something that they weren't able to handle. And they're not able to handle it anyway, because these demons that they conjure can eventually and quickly turn on them. And then they've got all kinds of mayhem continuing in their lives. I can't urge you enough to stay away from that sort of thing. Leave that alone. When somebody is saying, hey, look here, there's this guy who casts out demons on the line. I'm going to write down everything he says, and I'm going to try it. You better leave that alone. You don't know what you're dealing with, and unless the Holy Spirit has given you authority and told you to deal with something, you don't.
Amen.
Now, somebody will argue, all of us have the authority over every unclean spirit. We are seeing that some go out but by prayer and fasting. Some are not leaving right now. Because there's other principles in the spiritual realm that a lot of us are not aware of. And nobody is aware of all of the kingdom laws. There's laws in place. When Satan was able to take over in the earth as prince of this world, of course, the Lord is over all, and he will exercise his authority accordingly. But there are a lot of things the adversary is allowed to do because he's the prince of this world.
Amen.
So when we come up against his kingdom, it must be done in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows where and when and what. It's not something we just, pull out of thin air and decide, what would I like to be when I grow up? I think I'd like to be a demon caster outer. I urge you, leave that world alone if you don't know enough about it and if God has not called you to deal with that world, because you can end up getting hurt as this man did.
Verse 16 says it all. The evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them.
Yeah. You can get yourself pretty much beat up and hurt messing with something God didn't tell you to mess with. And being unequipped to do so. Okay.
Verse 19. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all.
I want you to understand. I don't know why I'm on this, but this is where we are, happen to be in Acts. And it's important. Why, somebody tell me, if you know, did they burn the books?
The books have power in themselves, that they just by presence, it can open the door, it can cause the spirits by looking at them or reading them, or I don't know.
As an act of repentance?
Wow, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a concept. As an act of repentance, Tammy says, because the books have power. This is some of the things that I've learned over the years. When people involved in the occult, they also pray over their stuff. The same way that we might pray over something that we give somebody, they do too. And books with incantations that came from a demon carry power. Mm-hmm. Now, someone will say, that's impossible. And I'm going to tell a fast story. I hope you haven't heard it before. I hope I haven't said it before. Probably have. But, okay. As a hairdresser, I had a lot of younger girls that are the daughters now of clients. They come in and they're telling me all about Harry Potter and how much they love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Harry Potter, this, Harry Potter. Miss Jeanette, what do you think of Harry Potter? Well, I had to be honest. I had never seen Harry Potter. I knew it was about sorcery, so why would I be looking at that? That day, the little girl's name at the time, she's a grown woman now, her name was Melanie. I actually finished Melanie's hair, went home, sat down on the couch, turned on the TV, guess what was coming on?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. So I looked at this as it's coming on, and this little boy is at a table with other children, and spirits are all over the place. And they're all friendly spirits. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. These are friendly. These are demons. But okay, friendly spirits, they're made to look friendly and welcoming. Long and the short of it, the boy wanted to learn how, and this is all within the first like 10 minutes of this movie. The boy wanted to learn how to fly on a broom because the girl started flying the broom all around the place. And she says, oh, it's easy, Harry. Just say blah, 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 blah. And then Harry would try and repeat the cantation. And the girl would say, oh, no, Harry, you've got it wrong. You've got to say it like this, Harry. It's easy. She repeated it like 3, 4, 5 times. Mm. And Harry kept slightly blundering it till he got it right. Mm. Immediately, I turned the TV off. I said, that's odd, because I write scripts. And I know a little bit about how television works. I said, how could they spend this much time on teaching this silly cantation? Hmm. How about the next day? I'm going down the highway. I turn on family radio or whatever radio Christian station was. Mm-hmm. Guess what it said? Oh, we did some looking and searching, and we found out that the cantations that they use in Harry Potter are actually right out of an occult book.
Uh-huh.
They were actually teaching the cantations to your children.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Amen.
Christian, beware. Everything that appears to be friendly or harmless is not.
Amen.
Amen.
And just like you have the power of the Holy Spirit operating through you, and you have the power against and any and all unclean things, make sure that he leads you to do these things. We're going to ask that the Lord also increase our discernment.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That something was quickened immediately. Something's wrong with this. They're repeating it too many times. Mm-hmm. That wasn't coming from a head of knowledge. That was coming from the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Something's more to this than that.
Yeah.
And then I was able to warn my clients. They're actually using witchcraft. Now, why do they burn the books? Because the spirit that is sent out. Why did people worship idols? I want to drive this home for some. Why do people worship idols? They're worshiping something fashioned by wood or some stones they threw together or chipped out. Why would Satan urge or encourage you to worship something made of wood or something made of stone or, you know, rob a bird? Or why would he do that?
Well, first of all, we were created to worship. So, and Satan always wants praise and worship because he doesn't want God to have it. He wants to have it because he wants to be in place of God. So he wants that worship, and he'll do whatever it is in any way he can get it to try to get you to do it if you're not careful.
So why is he asking you to worship something made of wood or stone?
Because he knows it's not real. He knows
because
it's not real.
Because it does become real, because
yeah.
The spirit can, I don't know,
go into
the spirit is in it, but the spirit can get into you from you looking at it or having to do with it, you know.
I need to receive power.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And how does it come? He can enter in or stand in front of the object that you're worshiping.
Yes.
And it empowers him in your life.
Right.
Right.
That's what I mean. Power.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, oh, it's just a stupid rock. It's just, or you think, you know, this stone, I carry this with me everywhere I go because it brings me power. Well, there are certain supernatural things going on there. And that's why he does it. The same now as with the books and with television. A lot of people think, well, I can watch these movies about witches. It's entertainment. That's all it is. That is not all it is. You know how when we're getting ready to have a service here this morning, we pray? And we pray that the Holy Spirit touch hearts, affect people, change people?
Uh-huh.
They do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Only they're praying to demons to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, Christian, beware. Christian, beware. Okay, keep going.
Okay, I'm just going to back up. This is in the same scripture. 19. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted.
Stop again. That's what I was addressing. Why did they burn the books? Mm-hmm. Because then there's not an object for the demon to attach to.
Yeah. It's gone.
The object. It's very important to burn any objects that you have in your home or that are coming from someone that you know has practiced or you pretty got a good inclination maybe into witchcraft or sorcery, and they give you an object. It's important, at the very least, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. It is better if you burn it.
Or smash it, or if you can't burn it.
Because it stops what was attached to that object from even being able. Some poor soul may dig it out of a garbage, and next thing you know, they have it. And they're wondering, I didn't invite this kind of chaos and demonic activity into my life, but things are just getting worse. Mm-hmm. And it's coming from an object that a demon has been assigned to.
Right.
That's what happens when witches are conjuring. They assign a demon to whatever it is they're trying to get done.
Right.
And that's, you know.
And in our technology today, it's pictures and stuff on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Could easily be. Easily be.
Amen.
You've got to wonder, why is certain things so powerful when they pop up on your phone or in your email, and all of a sudden you click on it and it just has this weird impact on you, and you wonder, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. Because it didn't come, you know, this ain't just a picture.
Mm-hmm.
This is, okay. You look at the power of pornography over people.
Right, right, right.
How can looking at pictures become addictive?
Right.
Okay.
And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed.
This is what repentance looks like, people. That's what repentance looks like. You're willing to put it away in every way. These people, when they saw the power of Jesus Christ and what he can do, they were ready to put away all their attempts at keeping a hold of some power that they felt they had. I had a person close to me, and they had a lot of activity in their life. And I mean unclean, demonic activity in their life. A lot of manifestation stuff coming up, out, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. I told them, you have to ask the Lord to stop it. And all of it would need to stop. The person says to me, well, there's certain aspects of this that I'd like to, you know, I would rather hold on to. This person liked having some of the power that came from some of the stuff that this person was doing. So they wanted the negative part of sorcery and witchcraft in their life to stop. But they weren't willing to give up all of the power. I urged that person for 40 years to let that go. They wouldn't let it go. They made the decision when I was 30, and so 30 years. They made that decision when I was 30 that they did not want to let it go. These people made a different decision. They said, not only are we going to let it go, we're going to burn this stuff up. Why were they burning it? Because they know, too. This wasn't just, gee, let's have a bonfire, folks.
Mm-hmm.
They know what was attached to these emblems and books and everything involved. They know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Lord grew mightily. Some of us, we have a problem with our walk. We have a problem with certain things that just keep surfacing in our lives, and we're wondering why. And some of the reason is because we still have some stuff that we have not let go of.
Amen.
Right.
I'm going to call this one out because it just keeps coming up. Crystals. Mm-hmm. A lot of Christians keep fooling around with crystals. Mm-hmm. Well, God put the rocks on earth, and I think that's so we can, not everything that the earth offers is bad, and blah, 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 blah.
Healing power.
Well, they believe it's got healing power. It has the ability to draw love to you. It has the ability to bring peace to your house. All these lies, because the adversary sometimes will spend a little bit of time deceiving you on the matter, but it ain't going to be long before he comes out of his bag. Christians, leave that stuff alone. It's witchcraft and it's sorcery, and there are spirits attached to it. Right. That's why they sell them in a witchcraft store.
Right. It's also the same for burning like sage and different kinds of scents and oils to do those things.
Right. You know, there's nothing you're supposed to be doing that God has commanded you to do that involves burning sage to drive out forces of darkness and keep your house clean, burn sage. Keep your house clean of unclean spirits. I watched a witch who told me that it draws unclean spirits from 50 miles away.
Wow.
Who knew?
Right.
And he's telling you, oh, no, burn sage to drive them out. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right.
No, it draws them.
Right. I was working in a office or school, and in our office, there was a lot of negativity. There was a lot of hostility. There was a lot of stuff. And then some people were openly doing it, you know, burning the sage. And I didn't know about it until I met you. And then come to find out this one person that I had a lot of conflict with over the years, she had a dedicated room, and she was worshiping all these things, and then they're bringing it into the office. And so once I got out of that environment, I felt like something lifted. Mm-hmm. But being in that every day really caused a lot of, just bondage or just, you know, I felt like
confusion.
I was being,
and mess.
Yeah, exactly. Confusion and mess. And it ends into, I can't tell you how much confusion and mess I've had. And the same thing for me with yoga. You know, I've been doing the yoga exercises, but when I was going to a gym and this guy who was a trained practicing yogi, who I didn't know, lived in Tibet or somewhere, starts doing those rituals in the in-shape gym.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you talked to me, I was like, I stopped and I felt, again, that cloud of covering that, I don't know, it's not bondage, but it was just holding me back, lift. And God was able to really work in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Lord grew mightily and prevailed.
Yeah.
Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are doing things that we don't even know are letting in and opening doors for unclean spirits activity in your life.
Amen.
So why are we not talking about it in churches?
Right.
Why? Well, because a lot of pastors don't know themselves.
Right. And some pastors let them into their church.
Because they don't know any better. That church, Calvary, 10,000 strong in Florida. Pastor Mark is an on fire, has founded over 400 churches. He's an apostle. I don't think they acknowledge that, but he's an apostle. He finds, okay. But because the church is so big, all kinds of things. Oh, I said, lodge in the tree.
Right.
Remember the mustard tree?
Right.
And then it grew so fast that other animals, birds, began to lodge in it that didn't belong in a mustard tree. Well, that's what's happened to the church. They come and they slip in and they say, hi, Pastor Mark. You know what? A lot of women are struggling with their weight and they're struggling with stress. And I think it would be great if we could do a yoga class. And Pastor Mark don't have time to go research yoga. Can't tell me something inside of him wasn't quickened. But he didn't have time or take the time to pursue it. And before you know it, that has lodged itself in. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else is teaching, supposedly coming in as a teacher that's opening their home, and they're leading people right over a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I'm saying something here.
Amen.
I'm saying something. Why I'm so stuck on this today is because that's where we are in the Word, so I guess that's what I'm supposed to be talking about.
Because just like it, the Lord grew mightily, it can stifle our growth. And
there
that's what the enemy wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like now I've been derailed by him for so many years from all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff that I've done on my own knowing and stuff not. But he just it can consume your life, and you still...
You don't need to know. How do you know? You can't see what came home with you from the movie.
Right, right.
All you know is that, wow, that movie was really dark and it made me feel really bad. But then you notice a week, two later, I've only felt from bad to worse, but now you can't connect it anymore to the movie because that was so long ago. And the activity in your life is just increasing, whether it's depression, whether it's, inability to control your thoughts. People start hearing voices and stuff manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff starts clicking around their house. Cabinets they close, they look back and they're open. And they're wondering, where's all this coming from? Am I losing my mind?
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a door open somewhere that needs to be closed.
That's right.
And you got to ask the Lord to reveal where that door is, or get with somebody who is gifted in that area to sit down and however long it takes, find where the door got to open so it can be closed.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I have to close because Tammy just pointed out I'm out of time. We have exactly 7 minutes to closing, so we'll stop right there. The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed.
Right.
Hey, just so we know, which is just a priceless thing to end on.
Yeah.
When people hear the truth, if they grab hold of it, if they act on that truth, God will prevail in their lives.
Amen. Amen.
People can be set free. People can change their path.
Amen.
I don't care where you came from. I care about where you're going.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't care, I did used to practice witchcraft, and I'm really sorry, and I'm ashamed. How about let's get that on the table and get delivered from it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or get the stronghold that entered. Hey, well, when I got saved, I didn't practice anymore. Were you delivered from it?
Amen.
Because if something was let into your life that shouldn't have been, getting saved doesn't drive it away.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Some of these things that you open the door for, you have to be delivered from.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these things, you don't even know you open the door.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes dialogue will help us understand where is what. You go to a yoga class.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have to be willing to denounce it, right?
And denounce it.
Amen.
And denounce it.
Amen.
But at the end of the day, the Lord will grow mightily. And that's what will happen in your life if you take the same... Take the same path that they did. When they saw the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, oh, no, we repent. We are going to stop, and we are going to talk about the magic we've been practicing, and we're going to get all this stuff together, and we're going to burn it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because that's how powerful his word is. It's a light unto our path.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see, I've been walking in darkness, and I don't want to do that anymore.
Amen.
Okay. What a powerful word of God, of what he can do, and how he didn't stop and get all wrapped up in, they were doing witchcraft, they're too far gone.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a devil worshiper, he's too far gone. Wrong answer. Every one of us is coming from some snare of the adversary. Every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this, it's that. It's not that, it's this.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us have to lay down something in our lives that is not pleasing in the sight of God and is hindering our growth, Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Christians.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Lord, add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Anybody have any questions or comments?
This is Rochelle, Minister Rochelle. It's amazing that you're on this topic. Throughout my walk in life, I've experienced a lot, but by God's grace, I made it through it all. I opened the door one time in my life, and I married into a family of witches. And I did discover that you can look into a person's eyes, and when you see nothing but cold and death, they practice it. And it is a familiar spirit. And the Lord did make a way of escape. But that's not really the testimony. I asked the Lord to, if He wanted me to share this. In our walk in life, we come across times where the enemy will approach us to sell our souls. Mm-hmm. And actually, I encountered that, which was, I didn't know what I was in. I didn't know what was going on, but I've always prayed. I've always been in my word. I've always trusted God, and I made mistakes. I made, you know, took wrong directions because of not knowing, because people do perish for lack of knowledge, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But and going through it, His grace kept me until my eyes opened up, and I used to go to Ron Hill's church every morning around the corner, and I'm going to say this really quickly, every morning at 4 and 5 o'clock a.m., I would go around there before I would go to work, and I would go into prayer. So one time I received a letter. I lived here. This was years ago. I received a letter in the mail, and it was asking me to sign the letter and fax it back in 3 days. See, we can get caught up in familiar spirits and not even know it. But
mm-hmm.
with God's grace, He will keep you as long as you're praying and believe in His word. The Holy Ghost will lead you. So I have been approached prior by certain people, and I can hear, and they would say, sell your soul. I heard that twice, once in a mall and once somewhere at a club when I was calling myself dancing and singing, and then someone wanted me, you know, just out of the clear blue, just sell your soul. And I turned back and I looked, and it was like that was in my mind both times. But then the third time came through a letter that went to my P.O. box, not here. And real quick, I read the letter, and it said, sign this and send it back in 3 days because we want to add you to a list where a lot of celebrities, rich people, you would get rich on your gift because you have something that we want and we need with our group. So I took this letter to Ron Hill's church that morning, and I prayed over it. And while I was in that church, I heard the Lord say, take it and burn it, and don't look back. And I took it, brought it home, I tore it up, and I burned it. And since then, I'm going to tell you all, my life has been threatened by the enemy. Every day, that's why I'm a prayer person, because I have to pray, because I have to stay on the right road. I know the enemy wants me to take the wrong turn, because this time he's not going to let go that easily. So I have to stay on the right road. This is why I am such a strong prayer warrior, and I fight the devil anytime I can. When the Lord said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, I have to, those are my words, and I have to, because I can't make another mistake. You can look at people in their eyes, and you can tell what spirit they're bound by. So just to say that, I'm going to end and just pass it over because it's time to go. But God bless you all, and thank you for the platform. God bless.
Sharing.
Thank you for sharing it. Somebody needed to hear it.
Yeah.
And if it's not for today, it might be for tomorrow. There's another lady in the church, in Miss Parker's church, who the same thing happened to. She got the letter. I don't know what she did with the letter. She brought it to the pastor, and I know they disposed of it some sort of way. But she has been tormented ever since. They keep coming at her. It's almost like once you've been selected, then they keep they keep at it. But that's cover and change.
That's where I am now. They can't torment me because of where my head and my mind is. It's always in the word and prayer. But I am being attacked on a day-by-day basis. But it's no fear because I trust in God. I know who I believe in, and I know that my Savior wins, and he's more powerful than any force or frequency or whatever that comes to attack. So that's what I go through. That's what I'm sharing. And so you guys know why now, why I'm such a forceful person and just move forward. I've been in this thing for 40 years now. So thank God for his grace and his power over my life. And I pray the same for anyone that hears this, that is going through it. You are a winner. You are victorious, and there is nothing the devil can do to you. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Cheryl, would you like to close us in prayer?
Yeah. Father, we want to thank you. We come to you humbly, and we thank you for this word. We thank you for what was just shared with us. Hopefully it will help some, if not all of us, now or in the future. Help us keep us focused on you and your word, because the enemy is strong and the enemy attacks us in many different ways. It goes for our things that we are prone to like, things of this world that we are interested in that we shouldn't be. Starts small, but it grows if we let it in our lives. So please keep us strong. Help us to stay in prayer. Help us to keep glorifying you.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you for this message, Lord. Help us continue on through this week. Keep you lifted. Keep our spirits lifted. We're in this season now, Christmas, where there's a lot of falsities going around. And it's like the spirit of you is what's been forgotten. So help us to keep you in the forefront of our minds during this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Have a blessed day.
God bless.
Merry Christmas, almost.